Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the beautiful Conscious Life Expo here in Los Angeles. I just returned this morning from Lima, Peru, Mexico City, where I was visiting Machu Picchu, Cusco, Lake Titicaca, and Paracas on the Peruvian coast. I had a fantastic time, and one of the most amazing experiences we had in with my group was to visit a stargate called Amaro Moro at the southern end of Lake Titicaca, where we were greeted by people from the Hollow Earth. They were singing to us. We couldn't see them, but they were from the fifth dimension. And while we were there, some of us put our hands on the rocks in the stargate, and the rocks started turning to jello. I kid you not. And my guides told me that we could have entered the Hollow Earth that evening, but it was a rainstorm coming. We'd only hired the taxi for a few hours. But we're going back again May 17th to June 4th. For those of you of high vibration who'd like to come along and enter into the Hollow Earth, physically go into the Hollow Earth, please come along. The cost is only $497 per person with accommodations and airfare extra. Although it doesn't cost much to get down to Peru, probably $400 or $500. If you're interested, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. The vibration of Machu Picchu and the Sacred Valley and Lake Titicaca is very high, and I still feel that high energy with me now, even though I haven't slept much in the last 24 hours. They were beautiful people that came with me, and I'm so happy that I went. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. Also, I wanted to tell you briefly that I'll be going back to Mount Shasta twice this year, from July 1st to the 8th, and again from August 27th to September 3rd. I've been visiting Mount Shasta every year now for the past several years, and one of the things that's been happening, every time I go to Mount Shasta now, there's been a miracle healing. In September of 2019, one lady was completely cured of Lyme disease that she'd had for the last 20-plus years. My eyesight was restored also in September of 2019 from blurry, farsighted vision in my right eye to perfect crystal clear 20/10 vision in both eyes. Another man was completely healed of Lou Gehrig's disease in August of 2018, and in September of 2017, a lady from Minnesota named Tammy, who'd been crippled for the past 20 years, was not able to walk, was given literally a new set of legs so she could walk normally. I'm not making these stories up, and if you're interested in going, the cost is $200 per person. They are both filling up fast, so if you are interested, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. My guides also tell me that Mount Shasta will be one of the first places to shift into the fifth dimension. This will occur, they tell me, in July of this year. So it's going to be an amazing trip, and I hope you can come. We also see many Sasquatch and UFOs flying in and out of Mount Shasta from the Hollow Earth while we're there. In next month, on March 13th, 14th, and 15th, 2020, I'll be having my sixth annual Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington. Among the speakers will be Simon Park, a famous ET contact from the United Kingdom, James Redfield, the author of the Celestine Prophecy, will be there in person, as well as Alex Collier, a famous contactee from the Andromeda Galaxy, Rex Baer of the LEAK Project, Eric Raines, a fantastic energy healer from the Salem, Oregon area, Tom Palladino with his wonderful Scalar Energy Healing Program. Michiko Hayashi, the beautiful Modal Peace Project, will be there as well, giving Hado treatments and many other wonderful people. I've extended my special so that if you register by February 15th, the entire conference is just $125. You can visit our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com or send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I also give readings, and I'm giving a special this month, 50% off my normal price for a full one-hour reading for just $50. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at area code 509-750-9793. Also, finally, I think I've talked enough now, and I want to bring on my wonderful guest, Karen King. Karen, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm great. I'm excited to be at the Conscious Life Expo, and really excited that you got back from Peru, because I love Peru.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I still feel the energy, and I feel a certain kind of a lightness kind of floating around a little bit. I don't know if you can tell me, but if I start to fade away to the fourth or fifth dimension, let me know. My producer probably wondered what happened to me, but I'm still here. The coffee is helping today. But anyway, it's so good to have you here. Well, I have to tell you, Karen, I really admire your work. You were in the movie Vax from Cover Up to Catastrophe, featuring your daughter who died as a result of the vaccinations back in the 90s. There was a movie made called VaxTheMovie.com. And I have to tell you the vaccinations have become a big topic now, especially as autism rates have been skyrocketing since the 90s. I remember back in 1996, the autism rate was something like 1 in 10,000 for young children and people in the United States, and it skyrocketed to something like 1 in 22 for boys and 1 in 3 or 4 for girls in the United States. And many think this is related to, directly related to vaccinations. You've also recently returned from Spain. And can you tell my listeners about that, by the way?
Well, I went in May. I went to Spain and I walked the Camino Santiago, which is a 500-mile pilgrimage. So I walked from France to Spain, and I had wanted to do it for many, many years. And so I just decided last year to just do it. I started practicing and training, and I really didn't know why I was doing it. But once I got closer, I decided to do the walk for all the children who have been vaccine injured. So every day as I was walking, I was praying and I was journaling and working on a book about that. And so it just gave me a lot of insight about forgiving myself, forgiving other people, being present and talking to people from all over the world about vaccine injury. And that topic is still not something that's easily discussed amongst people.
Right, right. Well, you know, I think many doctors are simply unaware of the, maybe that's not as true anymore because it's more and more information getting out about vaccinations. But most doctors want to help people. Some doctors naively think that vaccinations can help, you know, prevent the disease. But from your experience, what happened with your daughter after she was vaccinated?
My daughter in 1994 had the DPT vaccine. It was the live cell. And 2 hours after the vaccine, she had a 5-minute seizure. And then 2 hours after that, she had another 5-minute seizure. And what had happened is she had what is called hot lot. There were 30 kids who had seizures or worse, and there were 10 surrounding deaths that had the same vaccine as Lauren. And it destroyed my daughter's brain. So she had uncontrolled seizures her whole life. She was a quadriplegic, so she couldn't walk. She was nonverbal, so no communicating. She was communicating telepathically at 3 months of age. But she was cortically blind, and she died at 15 in my arms at home. From the complications from vaccine injury. And on December 5th, 2019, the World Health Organization talked about just the fact that doctors only receive a half a day of training about vaccines, and most of that training is about the schedule.
Wow. So the system basically is biased. So you have doctors administering these vaccinations that have no idea what the health effects are, or they're kept busy. But a lot of this information now is coming on the media, thanks to people like yourself who's telling what happened.
Well, I think that people were strong as a community. Back in the day when I was talking about Lauren's injury, I was just a parent. And now when I speak, I speak with scientists and doctors and lawyers. And the World Health Organization in December also just stated that people who are not sure about vaccines are starting to question vaccines at a rate of 500%. And so there's a huge concern, and there are a lot of my friends, like Josh Coleman, he has signs, so he just lives in Arizona, and they did a demonstration where they all had signs about vaccine facts at the PSA, the men's golf tournament. So people around the world are just showing up at huge events where, you know, we're being censored on Facebook. So our message of vaccine injury is being censored on Facebook. And so there's a new movement. When I was at the Capitol on August 28th, we had 500 of us, and we all had signs as we surrounded the Capitol in California. And so we each just had signs talking about the facts of vaccine injury, that there's abortive fetal tissue in vaccines, and that they've never been placebo studied, and all of these facts that people don't know. And this is just becoming a huge censorship issue because, obviously, it's all about money. And it hasn't been about our children's health in a very long time because our children, as you said, the statistics of autism have risen from just a few years ago. Every year they keep going up. And the cost of autism has gone up by 2025, we will be spending $1 trillion on costs for autism, and that's autism alone.
Oh, my God. Well, there seems to be a direct link between the MMR vaccination, measles, mumps, rubella vaccination, and autism. Do you know a lady named Laura Hirsch who wrote a book called The Other Side of Autism some years ago?
I do. I love Laura. She's lovely, and I met her at Autism One, and so there's a lot of concerns about vaccines, what's in them, and the schedule. And I'm a special employee of the government, so I'm in the Advisory Commission for Childhood Vaccines, and so I work with the scientists and the doctors who are all pro-vaccine. And I'm also friends with parents. I have thousands of friends who are, you know, people my age are living with adult children that will never leave home. They'll never drive. They'll never go to college. And it's devastating.
One thing that I wanted to share with you, I had Laura on my show several years ago, and she written the book called The Other Side of Autism. And from what I know of her experience, she had an autistic son. And she went back to her doctors, and the doctor said, well, nothing can be done. And so she consulted psychics. And she, through these psychics, she contacted former FDR, former President Roosevelt, and Albert Einstein, my friend on the other side. And they both told her that many of the autism cases are actually caused by the fact that the U.S. government secretly produces banned biological agents in the deserts in Nevada, outside of Winnemucca, Nevada. And they have accidents at these secret facilities, illegal facilities, and that stuff goes up into the air. They blow it into the air, and that stuff goes into the air and carried up to the potato fields of Oregon and Washington State. And so that when these potatoes are made into French fries for companies like McDonald's, and little children who had the MMR vaccination, there's something between the vaccination and these banned illegal chemical agents in the French fries that triggers autism. That's why you get such a high autism rate. It was very interesting. In her book, she stated that in 1972, President Nixon was supposed to ban the manufacture of these biological agents by the U.S. government. And what he did, he signed a treaty with the Soviet Union banning these biological agents. But on the other hand, he went and funded these secret programs underneath the deserts of Nevada, which had been going on since 1972. After all, he wasn't called Tricky Dick for nothing. And so, unfortunately, we got this schism. So there's a relationship between the two, and that's one of the reasons why Laura thought that the autism rates had gone so high as a result of the MMR vaccination.
Absolutely. You can see there's a couple things. There's a lot of different things that are happening. In 1986, they took the liabilities from the drug manufacturer. So if you're injured by a vaccine, you can't sue your doctor. You don't sue the drug companies. You actually sue a fund that is created from taxing people who buy the vaccines. And from then, when all the vaccines went up, so now instead of having 5 or 10 vaccines, we have 70 vaccines for children that are five. By the time they're five, they've had 69 vaccines. And so, you know, I think that it's really important that people start questioning and start looking. And then, you know, we also run into the fact that we're being censored. So when you look for information, when I go on Facebook and I look at information about a vax site, I will get 10 other sites from the CDC and all these other links that come up before the actual link, even when I'm keying it in correctly. So I think that there's a lot of things going on. And my goal is to help families who are living with vaccine injury, because my daughter was also intuitive, and so she was communicating months after her birth, I'm sure before, and she's still communicating after she died 10 years ago. And there's many, many children that have come here on this planet, and they're communicating with each other. So my daughter has been communicating with all kinds of children. There's a book called The Children of Now of all these children that are telepathic, and they're communicating together. When I was walking the Camino, a woman called me, and she said that her son was nonverbal, and he started typing, and he told his mom that the day I met his mother, Lauren tapped him on the shoulder, and they've been communicating ever since telepathically. So our children are very powerful, and I think that's really important that we understand, and I think that we have to do our best to get back to being healthy and getting all these toxins out of our body.
Well, let me tell you some good news, by the way. I have been in communication with Albert Einstein, and Laura Hirsch was as well in her book, The Other Side of Autism. And he said that a cure will be found for autism within 8 years.
That's fantastic.
So just hold on. And also, the legislature in Washington State removed the personal exemption for vaccines a year ago. However, if you can still opt out of vaccinations if you just say it's against your religion.
That very much depends on what state you're in. So we're in California right now, and Senator Pan, he is a vaccine injury denier. So currently in California, you cannot send your child to school unless there's 69 vaccines in your child by the time they're five. And this is devastating to our community. So even if your child has anaphylactic shock for the MMR, they still have to receive all the other vaccines. So I've been protesting in Sacramento and traveling around. I just got back from Hawaii, and now I'm in Arizona. We're doing Health Freedom Coalition Summit March 11th and 12th in Tucson, Arizona. And so Dr. Wakefield will be there, Dr. Josh Coleman will be there, and Dr. James Lyons. So there's a lot of us. And I think that what I would suggest for people to do is keep getting informed. And we need to understand that they're after our children now, but they're quickly coming after adults. And this whole coronavirus is gone mad, and it's just government making big money,
right,
and keeping our children and adults very, very sick.
Well, I had a lady on my show earlier, wonderful lady named Susan Miller, fantastic astrologist in New York City. And I really respect, she was on my show, I really respect her. She was on my show about 6 years ago, and she said 6 years ago that this was a time of truth, that things that are true would become evident as being true, but on the other hand, those that are false will also be evident as being false and fall by the wayside. And so I look at people as waking up at this point, and eventually people will be given the choice if they wish whether to vaccinate or not vaccinate their children. It won't be government mandated, in other words.
I think that we all have to get together and unite to make sure that happens, because that supports the pushes to get everybody vaccinated with all the schedules that they come up with. And so I think that a lot of people think that this doesn't affect them. They're like, well, I don't have kids or this or that. But I think by what I know is that there will soon come a time they want to vaccinate you to have health insurance, to get your driver's license, to fly in and out of the country or in the country. So people really need to wake up, and they need to get informed about this issue. Back to is coming out, and it's been touring around, and get out and see Vax 2, rent Vax, the first movie. But people really need to educate themselves and be aware that this isn't going away, and this affects us all. By 2025, if we are $1 trillion spending on our budget for autism, that will just devastate America.
Yeah,
and
right.
This should be on the news every day.
Right. And the corporate executives of Big Pharma, if they want to make money, let them go work at McDonald's.
I agree.
Seriously, I met a fellow, it was about 2 weeks ago in Peru, from Argentina, and he told me something very interesting. He says that in Argentina, you can't get a driver's license, you cannot get a passport, you can't travel outside of the country unless you've been vaccinated with all these different vaccines. And of course, Argentina was the site of the home of a place where many Nazis after World War II went. So I don't know if you've heard about that, but it's quite troubling what he was saying.
I've not heard specifically about Argentina, but this is the wave of the future for our politicians. And this is what they want to happen. And so this is why everyone needs to wake up. I mean, it's just, it's medical tyranny making somebody inject something into their body that they know causes harm. And, Dale Bigtree on the High Wire, he talks about vaccines and all of this every Thursday, and he's a great way to get informed, because people really need to understand what's going on with the vaccine laws and how to get involved in their state. This is not a federal program. This is a state-by-state program. So every state is just individual.
Right.
And I have friends protesting all around the U.S. I have friends protesting in, England, Australia. Many different countries have much more serious vaccine problems.
Well, one thing, Karen, I have to tell you is that, as you know, the planet's ascending. We are ascending now. The vibrations around planet Earth are getting higher and higher. And one of the things that my friends in the Hollow Earth have told me, they said that vaccination program is not a way to prevent illness. It's a way to dumb down and debilitate a whole generation of children on this planet. They don't ascend. And that, of course, comes counter to what the surface says. But it's a time of truth, as Susan Miller has said, and I think we'll be seeing a lot more truth coming out about this program. And I believe people should be given a choice. They shouldn't be forced into one way or the other.
I totally agree. If you want to get vaccinated, I think that's your right. But for people that are in my family, you know, my daughter was grievously injured, and so I don't want her cousins having to get vaccinated because they live in California or Oregon or wherever they live. But we should have that choice. And to take a choice of what you inject into your body seems like complete madness. And I think that anybody who understands what's happening and they say nothing, I mean, I just, you know, I do a lot of work and I do a lot of advocating and speaking, and I just want to be on the right side of history.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely agree that our children are, you know, they're getting so smart and they're so intuitive now. This is a huge dumbing down issue. But when you think about America, everyone, you know, the 7 years that we haven't been to war, and if we have nobody to fill our military positions or our executive positions, and they all have autism and they're living in a home, and you know, who's going to be bankrolling all of this?
Right, exactly. It doesn't make any sense. Why would we knowingly commit suicide with our children, for heaven's sake?
I've been asking that question over and over, and people, you know, I think a lot of people, I know for me with Lauren, when she was alive, people would just look at me and say, oh, you know, that's not going to happen to me. But people don't understand vaccine injury and what it looks like. It looks like autism, but it looks like the tics. It looks like asthma. It looks like all kinds of different, there's seizures and eczema, and people just keep thinking that's normal. Right now, 1 in 20 children has a seizure disorder, which I think is completely crazy that we as Americans accept our children to be that ill.
Well, as Helen Caldicott told me on my radio show a couple of years ago, she said that democracy you have to work for. You can't assume anything, and you especially can't assume our so-called elected leaders to act in our best interest.
I totally agree, and I'm not someone who likes to mix with politics, but I do go down, and I get into groups. You know, I've gone to Hawaii, and we've done demonstrations in Hawaii and Sacramento, and I've gone to the Capitol in Austin, Texas, and so I get out there as much as I can, and I think every voice matters. And so I think a lot of people are intimidated to talk to people, or they don't know how to get involved, and they think that they won't make a difference. But every one of us make a difference in our own way. And so I kind of do what suits me, and then I kind of get out of my comfort zone and join other people. But we must unite, and we must have our voices heard, and we have to protect our children. Because trust me, once you have a child who's vaccine injured, your life will never be the same away.
Well,
same again.
That's true. And the ironic thing is that the same parents who trust the medical doctors to tell them the right thing, and they urge them to get these vaccinations, if their child gets autism, they probably go back to the same doctors, and the doctor throws up his or her hands in the air and says, sorry, nothing I can do.
That's exactly what they do, and they don't know what vaccine injury looks like. In the 2019 Nurses Handbook, there are no vaccine adverse reactions in there at all. There's no information what a vaccine injury looks like, and there's no information about how to treat it, and so doctors basically don't know what to do. And insurance companies are paying doctors who have a full clinic of all children who are vaccinated. So doctors won't even see children that want an alternative schedule or that are not vaccinated. And this is it's a critical issue. So my friends who have children who are vaccine injured, they don't want to go to the doctors. They don't want to go to the ER. And in some states, children are being taken away from their parents and then vaccinated against their will. And, you know, we're not asking the basic of questions. We know that the MTHFR gene will make you much more likely to have a vaccine injury. So there are questions we can ask and we can look into to see if children, and the schedule can be, you know, delayed. And, you know, I think the biggest important thing that I tell mothers is to trust their gut, because the mother always knows. And we have to trust our gut before we blindly go into medical procedures that don't feel right.
Right, Karen. Could you please give out your website so people can get more information about your wonderful work?
Right now you can follow me on Facebook. I'm just basically on Facebook, and my name's Karen Kane, K-A-R-E-N-K-A-I-N. You can find me on Facebook and follow me, and I'll be at Tucson at the Health Freedom Coalition speaking March 11th.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Well, you're an inspiration to all of us, Karen, and you're a brave lady, and I appreciate you so much for coming on my show today. I really do, and all your wonderful work.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
All right. Great, Karen. Great. I also, if you could arrange, I'd like to do a pre-record with you this weekend, too, and just go ahead and set it up, and that would be wonderful. Thank you. Great job. Great job. My next guest is Daniel Brinkley. He's a fantastic fellow. He has been, he has had the experience of four near-death experiences, and he's been to heaven several times. And now he just flew in with his angelic wings and landed here in the studio at the Conscious Life Expo. Daniel, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, kid. And how are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm a little tired this morning. I flew overnight from Lima, Peru, through Mexico City, and I was down visiting Machu Picchu, Lake Titicaca, the Sacred Valley, Pizac, and I had an opportunity to listen to a chorus of young children and adults from the Hollow Earth at Lake Titicaca who visited us in the fifth dimension. One evening we were there, and we were at the Stargate called Amaro Muro, and we put our hands on the rock, Daniel, and the rock started to act like jelly. It was. We put our fingers into the rock.
I can easily understand. Remember, when you listen to the legends of Peru, and I've been to Peru so many times, when you look at Pachacama, the legends of that the rocks walked themselves into place and molded themselves into place, that's very normal and known. I never thought much of Machu Picchu because it's early classic Inca in its construction, other than the Mulche and the pre-classic Inca period. But when you look at Titicaca and you see that it was a seaport, it changes your whole concept. So when you get to the northern part of Peru and the Mulche, the oldest cities in the states in the Americas, then you start to see the glory of that country. And I support people seeing it and spending time there and watching the transformation of a person who goes a little trip into Peru and realizes that 90% of every story you've ever been told historically is a lie. And you can fly to Cusco, fly to Lima, take the flight to Cusco, get off the plane, go to Sacsayhuama, and know it's a lie.
Yeah.
So I support. I'm really glad that you took your sacred journey.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Daniel. Well, I'm going back in May. You're welcome to come with me if you like.
I've been 30 times, and I'm a member of VITA, Volunteers for Inter-American Development Assistance, programs that try to get information to heart patients and equipment throughout Central and South America. Jaide Rodriguez-Pastor is the president, and I've been working with them for probably 25 years. So I love this country. I love the people in this country. And it holds the magic like Egypt is to the ancient world in our inside. But when you really get a grip, on the Yucatan and Peru, you get a chance to honestly and sincerely see that there are worlds that existed before we decided ran this world.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to give you a gift, Daniel. You probably have a lot of things to read, but this is my book I published last year, Messages from the Masters. Messages from
which master?
Albert Einstein, President Kennedy, Nostradamus.
When did Einstein become a master?
Well, Albert, I call him a master, but
I'm trying to frame messages. I mean, this is a quantum physicist.
Right.
Okay, he came in to create consciousness of relativity. Mm-hmm. Relativity in the broadest possible spiritual focus, as well as in the mental, physical focus. Mm-hmm. And so would Tesla be a master? In that particular ranking, yes. Mm-hmm. But I don't see those as the glorious master.
Oh, okay.
You know, there are those hierarchical being that literally transmits love, conscious, compassionate support to us on a consistent basis, because we are so stupid thinking we're physical, mental beings. that they do that, those are the master tests.
Okay, thank
these
you for explaining that.
Neil Bohr, Niles Bohr, these are people who have the capability to express conscious transition, but not to add the wisdom and the magnificent compassion and empathy necessary to function in this plane and environment. I know that was a little carried away, but, you know, we live in a world where reality is ours to understand and to reinforce and take a focus point. And when you understand that right now, so many things that were conspiracy theories when I first came to Conscious Lives in the 80s are now practical, functioning reality. So here is the spot where you can come and see 20 years from now. Now, I think that John F. Kennedy, and when you look at who he was and what he saw, I would say that he is would give him a master status in a class different from Einstein. I'm wondering how these entities, as they describe themselves, recognized in this plane. Mm-hmm. You know, John F. Kennedy. Well, that's not his name, but John F. Kennedy. I mean, but how he signifies his name in transition in this plane. Mm-hmm. He came as a conscience. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would rank higher than mathematicians to me. Mm-hmm. Because he was representing a conscience about seeing the world that he inherited, that his father got for him, and from with the mob, and seeing what he had. And that would be a different master, or I'm still not sure with that master word, but that would be a different level. And wonder why they would multiply come from multiple arenas to use you. I will read this book.
Okay, well, thank you. It started on my journey back in the spring of 2015 when I was working on my radio show for the day, Daniel, and I was walking out of this library at home, and I heard this voice and said, in my head, saying, "I hear you want to talk to me." And I looked around, and I've had clairaudience before. I come from a psychic family, so it's normal for me to sometimes hear them. And I said, "Who's this?" And the gentleman said that he was Albert Einstein. And I said, "I better sit down." So I sat down, and I talked to him for the next 3.5 hours and told me all about his life, how he would have become a clerk in the Swiss patent office.
He
would have stayed a clerk, in other words. He would have stayed there if he'd known that his inventions would have been used to destroy humanity. And so then he said, "Would you like to meet my friends?" after I talked to him at length. And I said, "Sure, I'd love to." And the first entity to come through was Leonardo da Vinci. And I asked Leonardo how he was able to get his futuristic drawings. He said, "It's very simple. He did astral time when sleeping. He goes in the future."
Everyone is legendary for napping.
Yeah, for napping, right, for napping. And then he asked me if I'd like to meet his friends, and I said, "Certainly, your friends are my friends."
Who else was his friend, along with when you went from Einstein, okay, and who was the next person?
Leonardo da Vinci was the next one.
Did he have other friends? Because when he said he wanted to meet my friends, okay.
Yeah. The first entity to come through was Robert F. Kennedy. So I asked him about Bobby Kennedy, about his assassination. We had quite an interesting discussion. And then
Did you ask him about Maryland?
I didn't ask him about Maryland, no. Yeah, well, I can if you want.
Okay, well, I would like to know about Maryland.
Okay, well, what would you like to know?
I'd just like to know what happened to her in the final day. What's the real story? What's the story of what happened to this beautifully magnificent, wondrous, quite disturbed human being?
He said that she was poisoned. Overdose. Made it look like an overdose, but she was basically poisoned. Yeah. She knew quite a bit of things that especially organized crime did not want to let out. She was killed, murdered, if you will. And then it was all covered up after that.
And why didn't he do something about it?
Because he was afraid, he said, of his own liability, because he'd been involved with her in a relationship, and he was afraid that was going to come out. So he regrets not being more proactive with that.
No, it all makes sense. tell him, you know, a lot of us make some really stupid choices.
Sure. We're all human. We're all human. But anyway, Bobby Kennedy led me to his brother, because I said I really wanted to talk to his brother Jack, President Kennedy. And so both President Kennedy and Jacqueline have been with me ever since, and they came with me.
So how would Leonardo and Bobby Kennedy be friends? I mean, you always look for lineage, kid. When you've been through what I've been through as many times as I've been through it, you understand the structure, how it operates in this first four or five or six levels. I have a really good viewpoint of how the levels operate.
Okay.
So how that they would be friends with each other and use the term friends as a word of linkage is important.
Right.
But also that they considered that person friend. And what would that you're moving from a complete different level of consciousness into a consciousness. This was about law enforcement, and this was about covering for his dad.
Right.
What Bobby Kennedy was doing, covering for his dad.
Right.
Okay, you know, I get that, but I'm trying to find the linkage to him, Leonardo.
I just got the message. It was soul connections and past lives through both. That's how they knew each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice to know.
Yes, that's what he said. And
was Bob John F. was Bobby's friend.
Right. So that's part of the family, and that's how President Kennedy came to me. And he actually enjoys Peru. He came with me on my most recent trip. Both him and Jackie came. And he's joking now. He said they didn't have to pay a plane ticket. Just came down. He rode along on the wings of the plane down and back.
So you think that the relationship between John and Jackie survives consciously intact as equal to the relationship they identified with here?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. And later, they led me to Nostradamus. And when I channel Nostradamus, I go back to December 1540.
Old man.
And he's in his study there. And one of the most interesting experiences I had, Danny, was back about 4 or 5 years ago, where I contacted him in his study, and I noticed he was tearing up his quatrain, predicting a World War III at this point. And he ripped them all up, these old quatrains, and he had a blank piece of blank parchment, Daniel. And he looked at me from the 16th century when he was back in France, and he said, "What kind of world are you and your friends going to create?" And I said, "Well, of course we want to create a harmonious and peaceful world." And he said, "Well, you better get busy." So I've been busy since. Of course, maybe all of us have been busy creating a better world. I know your work is wonderful, Daniel. And he started to write new quatrains based upon what we've done now, but this time it's not about war. It's about a better world for all of us now, without war.
Well, that's not going to happen now. I mean, people don't really get when I went through the first near-death experience, Ed, I had so much of that information, which became the boxes of knowledge. Okay, well, I said that Jerusalem would become the center of attention, and at the same time as Jerusalem became the center of attention, you better watch for the disappearance of Jordan, because that's the precursor to the war. Okay, well, the new petition put forth by Trump's son, our stepson, Kushner, gives Israel control of the West Bank, okay, which is Jordan.
Oh, all right.
Okay, that's properties owned by Jordan and Jerusalem. Trump moved Jerusalem as the capital, and in their point, they said Jerusalem would be the united capital of Israel. But in the Balfour Agreement, Israel, which is owned by literally every other group you can imagine, was going to be an international city.
Mm.
So America is recognizing the capital against the United Nations, and the Palestinians completely reject. People have to pay a lot of attention to that if they don't have their own oil. People need to pay a lot of attention to it. And so I hope that while I do this work, I hope to get people smart enough and aware enough and appreciating themselves enough to make this a better world. But if we don't consciously come together in action and we look at the insanity that we've allowed my people my age and your age, our age, we are the blame for this. We baby boomers are responsible. So
I agree.
So, you know, we are responsible. And I'm glad you're out doing what you're doing, Ted. And I'm glad I'm glad that these entities have chosen to bring their message of their mistakes as well as their successes and their viewpoint of how we can better move forward. And I will read this book.
Okay. Well, thank you, Danian. Thank you so much. What do you, by the way, you had four near-death experiences.
One death experience.
Okay.
One death experience, death, and two death experiences. I mean, I've had four of these events, okay? But what did for 28 minutes in the first one was the deepest, most awesome one, okay? Then open heart surgery, then brain surgery, then open heart surgery again because of the damage done to me by lightning, okay? The lightning did me in. And in the course of the last open heart surgery, I got 4 days at 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning. I went out. I flatlined. And they resuscitated me, breaking two ribs. And they resuscitated me, and I stayed resuscitated 8 or 9 minutes. And then they lost me again, so I coded twice. And then they put the pedals to me, and they brought me back. What was funny about it, Ted, is I would come out of my body. And I would look, I was standing next to the nurse on the right-hand side, and I was watching them pound on my chest. I was watching the little cardiologist who's like some little intern, 2 o'clock on a Sunday morning, you know what's happening.
Sure.
And I'm watching all this go on, and as I was watching it, from the time the bell went off to the time I came back, okay, so I went out of my body, I came out really fast. But I realized that going back in, I went back in slow. And I was noticing it was like I was thickening. I was like putting on a coat, okay? And when I put the last coat on, like 7 coats, then I breathed, and I was back. Okay, 8 or 9 minutes, I'm acclimating. Now I flatline again. I come out the same way, really, really fast. All the hectic anxiety of the staff, who did a magnificent job. But all of that, me watching that, and then I'm back out, and I'm watching the same situation. And then slow, magnificently, and comfortably, I come back in. I come back in, and I put on each of those coats, and I take a breath. So it reinforces to me my concept of who we are and how we function in this illusion that we call reality. Mm-hmm. It's an illusion, okay? And it makes me this event so comfortable. The open heart surgery, they never thought I would make it out of the open heart surgery, and I didn't. When I got to the intensive care, I had no blood pressure.
Wow.
I was done. And if my wife wasn't there, or my brother and my sister wasn't there, because they told them I wouldn't make it, okay? Well, they were there, so they came back in, and instead of calling it, they kept brought me back to stabilization. I mean, and I appreciate the nurses, and I appreciate the doctors, but it was one little nurse, one guy, and he was getting ready to get off 10, and he looked at me, and he said something, told him this guy should not die, and he came back in and worked 2 hours on me. Instead of leaving, he'd already pulled a 12-hour shift, and he worked 2 hours on me.
Oh, wow.
And I kept knowing that wasn't one you would call an angel, but he came to work every day, so I knew he was a true angel, not in the angelic realm, but in the spiritual, divine realm.
Sure. Wow, what a beautiful story.
And it's the truth. Mm-hmm. Never ask to know everything. Never ask to know, because when you're going into the surgery and everybody says you're not going to make it, and I'm just so used to that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been given 6 months to live every 6 months for the last 40 years.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
Right now, 8 months. If I made it 8 months, it would have been a miracle. Well, I've made it 15. Okay, so the body has a certain mechanism and how it works, and I understand it. So it's just a machine. Just a machine. And I recognize it as just a machine. And I deal with it just as this machine.
When you're on the other side, my dad tells me, who passed away many years ago, that you can choose the physical kind, how you appear in the fifth dimension. Is that true from your experience as well?
I don't really think people think about that. And because this is the greatest part about over there, Ted. All of us want to be loved. Well, what greater perspective could you have and need to know that you are loved and that love is flowing through you, but you also recognize that you are flowing through it. And the nature of your divinity is instantly recognized. It's never in question. What greater gift could you be given than to know that that's who you truly are? Then, once you're back in that realm, you get bored easy. you got to be doing something. You got to be making something happen. You have to be creating a universe, replanting a planet. You have to be moving into many multiple dimensions of reality. This is what you have to be doing. We are creative. We're playful, light-hearted, magnificently powerful spiritual beings. Somebody asked me, they said, what do you think the meaning of life is? Well, that's easy. You come here to practice being a god.
Wow, amazing.
And think about this. If you have this in your thoughts, if you believed in a divine force, and you describe that divine force, you hope it would be kind, caring, loving, appreciative, compassionate, protective. Well, how many times per day do you get an opportunity to be that? All the time, all day, every day.
That's true.
So what could be the meaning of life? You're here practicing being a god. That's an earned privilege.
Wow, that's very profound.
I was only inspired by you, Ted, and your trip to Peru.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Dan. Thank you. You use some beautiful work, including helping veterans who are perhaps on their end of life and providing comfort. Could you tell us a little bit about that and how people could help support that?
Well, I'm a hospice volunteer for over 40 years. Mm-hmm. And I have 35 years in the VA. And after you go through the kind of experiences that I've been through, the quote-unquote near-death experience, you become frightfully aware of what the real motives and reasons for who you are and why you're here. I don't have any illusion or delusion about who I am, and I know too much about me to feel like I'm important. But I know that understanding what's next in this life and being at the bedside of helping people deal with the end of their life, and I deal with palliative and end-of-life care. That's my niche in this world, and I fight for the rights of the dying, which is the most helpless, underserved group of people other than children being raped and abused and vaccinated children. This lady that you had on just before me, I am rooting for her 100%. When you're a mother and you know how much billions of dollars they've paid out in damage and you're not taking the stand to choose, then there is a problem with we as men not supporting women in helping making those decisions, okay? A man has no opinion about it, none. It's a woman's decision, and it has to be supported. And vaccinations set up a chain reaction for the illnesses they anticipate you will have based on the side effects of the vaccine. Look at Desert Storm. Ted, I have been 35 years in the VA. That's the Veterans Administration in the international people. I've been dying. I have $34,000 at the bedside of watching veterans in their last days and hours. I have heard every story from World War I to Iraq yesterday. I was just at the VA in West Los Angeles visiting a kid who may make it 3 months. They tell the truth. They tell you what really is happening, what they really see. And this is that place that I can make a difference in their life, and I can listen. Everybody needs closure, and everybody needs to know that their life has a bag. And being a veteran myself, I developed the Twilight Brigade, which is just the Twilight Brigade. You can go on any internet, any website, the website, and you can see what we're doing. We're going from the Twilight Brigade to the Transition Brigade because I'm tightening the screws on the Veterans Administration. Sorry.
Right.
Tightening the screws. You know, you think you can push my boys around and you think a bureaucracy can matter. Well, you can kiss my foot. I will burn your ass, and I don't care. What are you going to do, kill me?
Yeah, right, right. Well, that's what President Kennedy has said to me on the other side. What are they going to do, kill him? He's already dead. So.
But nobody ever, this is the most important message that I have. Nobody dies, everybody, but every breath matters. And when you start putting the power of breath into your focal point of each day, the first thing I do in the morning is I thank God I have an autonomic system that allows me to breathe while I was asleep. Because if I had to think about breathing through the night, I would never have gotten any sleep. Then how important does life be? And that's the key. You breathe and paying attention to the nature of your breath, giving so much value that you have a right to put on those seven coats and to function and think you're existing in this frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing and a privilege.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got about 2 or 3 minutes left, about 3 minutes left, Danyon, and I wanted to let you know that so you could wrap up your beautiful interview today.
Well, my interview is, please, everybody, tell at least 5 other people about Ted's show and get them to come and participate. I deal with palliative and end-of-life care, and I'm Danyon Brinkley, and you can find me anywhere that has to do with palliative and end-of-life care, and I am the Twilight Brigade. But we have to unite in who we are. I'm a baby boomer born between 1940 and 1967, and there's 75 million of us, and 10,000 of us turn 65 every single day, and we are a force to be reckoned with. We need to take responsibility for the world, the IIIBBB movement created after the war, which is us, and what we have to do is unite in certain causes and principles, and we have to move forward. And the fact that you're in Washington, Ted, I applaud the hemp industry and the medical marijuana industry because all of a sudden we are discovering a magnificent plant that can replace the horror of plastic. They take everything that you make out of hemp, out of petrochemical that lasts for 1,000 years, you can make out of hemp and it lasts a year or two and you can eat the dirt that it was thrown in. And when you see this in the ocean and you see it, I applaud Washington State and I applaud the people of Washington State for being innovative and caring enough to research this product, both as a fiber and as a medicine. And I love everybody in Washington State. I put you in my heart and in my thoughts. And I thank Ted for giving me the time to speak to you from my heart. And please tell your friends to sign up or listen to Ed.
Well, thank you, Danyon. What a nice compliment. That really warms my heart. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I've followed you for many years, and I've always admired you for your wisdom and profound advice to people. You're one of the reasons, I think, that the planet is ascending right now. People's consciousness is rising.
I can tell you this. That's what's happening. Anybody who pays any attention to the Maya, okay, and I'll just go quick with this, Ted. Anybody pays any attention to the mind? The only people who thought December 21st, 2012 was the end of time was a bunch of white people. Okay? Nobody else thought. All right? So we're now almost in the 8th year.
Absolutely. Well, Danyon, I'm so sorry, my friend. We've run out of time, but I'd love to do a further interview this weekend if you like. You have some time?
I have no idea. I want to support you in what you're doing, and if we find the time, I'll be glad to do it.
Okay, all right. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for coming on my show today. This is Ted. I'm broadcasting from the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles, and I hope everyone has a really beautiful and happy weekend. Take care, my friends, and Simon Park will be on a week from today. Thank you so much again, everyone. Bye-bye.